to read from John's first epistles. That's 1 John, not the Gospel of John, but 1 John, and chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 1 begins, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the words of life." I'll just pause there. Some of us before this meeting were looking at the Westminster Shorter Catechism, and this is one of the texts which those men back in 1648 used to support what they're saying. And we know that John here is writing, and he's saying, look, I'm not writing to you about a philosophical idea or an interesting notion that entered my head. I've not come up with an interesting belief system which I want to share with you. I'm telling you what I saw with my own eyes. I'm telling you what I heard with my own ears. I'm telling you what I touched with my own hands. And he's a person. And John is writing not as a philosopher, but as a witness. Now, what's probably going to come out of 1 John is that there has been some false teaching entering the churches called Gnosticism. And really, there were two limbs to that false teaching. The first one is that you're saved by what you know and what by Christ has, not by what by Christ has done. That's false teaching number one. But false teaching number two is that anything which is spiritual is good, and anything which is physical is bad. And so the early Gnostics found it very hard to believe that the word of life, God himself, could be touched, could be heard, could be seen. Now, we know from the Gospel of John, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And those Gnostics said, no, he appeared to be a human being. He looked like a human, but really he was a bit like a ghost. He was a spirit. John says, no. We touched him. We saw him die. We saw him rise again. You might also note from that the beginning of John's first epistle sounds a little bit like the beginning of John's Gospel. If I just turn to John chapter 1, and as always happens when I'm trying to find a text while I'm speaking, it's hard to find. John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Notice the similarity between the first epistle and that gospel. This idea of the beginning, this idea of the words. And indeed, commentators and scholars will draw a parallel between the very opening words of the Bible. In the beginning, God. You've got three texts, Genesis chapter 1, John chapter 1, and 1 John chapter 1, which speak about the beginning and the involvement of the Word. And there are a few things we can say here. I know I'm preaching to the converted, but this world had a beginning. It wasn't always here. There was a time when there was no time. There was a time when there was no world. There was a time when there was no life. But God created life. He created a world. There was a time when there was no you. But God made you. And again, as we were discovering next door, we were made for a purpose. We were not an accident. We were not an afterthought. We were not even the product of careful family planning. We were made by God for God. We were designed to have a relationship with God. But there was also a beginning of which John speaks here, and that is when the word of life became flesh and dwelt among us. And John wrote his gospel, but later on, I think, he's having to write this epistle because false teaching has crept in. So he's writing about he whom he saw and heard and handled. And he said, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and which was manifested unto us. Jesus Christ was not just a nice guy or a teacher, neither was he just a spirit. He was actually life. He that had the Son has life. He that does not have the Son has not life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now we tend to emphasize way and truth there. You know, Jesus is the way to God. If you're not going to God through Jesus, you can't find God. And Jesus is the truth. He speaks the truth and he is the truth. But he's also the life. He is the source of life. And he gives us eternal life when we turn to him and trust in him. It's quite hard to imagine living forever, isn't it? We are so used to the fact that people are born and they die. They're born and they die. But when we're with Jesus forever, there will be no death, not even physical death, because we are keeping the company of he who is the life, the source of all life, he whom John writes about here. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He now then says that having accepted who Jesus is, and that he is the truth and also the life, we have fellowship with him and with the Father. You know, because of our sin, we are not in a right relationship with God. We are cut off from him automatically. But because Jesus came to pay the price upon the cross, we can have fellowship and friendship and intimacy with God restored. That which was our birthright and was lost is given back to us through Jesus Christ. Furthermore, says John, you can have fellowship with us. I know I've said this point many times before, but on those occasions when I'm travelling away, maybe, I remember I was in Hong Kong and I came across a group of Christians meeting there, and that they had a chalkboard outside with a whole load of, I forget which Chinese language, someone corrected me the last time I said it, the vernacular language, I'll say that much. And then underneath they put in English, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. I had not a clue what the preacher was saying. I did not understand them, and they probably didn't notice me. But I knew I had fellowship with those people. I had a closer relationship with those people in Hong Kong, whom I could not even speak to, than I had with some of my next door neighbours in England, because we have fellowship with them and with Jesus Christ and with the Father because of Jesus coming. And then he concludes in verse 4 saying, or concludes the section, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Again, I repeat myself from the earlier meeting. But our joy is not found in having sparkly new cars, or a bigger house, or a new this, or a new that. Our joy is full when we have a right relationship with God, when we're enjoying his company through his Son, and we have good fellowship with other people also enjoying that company. So what can we get from this letter? The Jesus we speak of is a real person. He's not just a philosophical idea, a pie in the sky. He is the source of all life, who became flesh and dwelt among us. He was real. He was heard and seen. He was touched. And John says, I am one of the ones who saw him. And I'm writing to you now. And I declare him to you now. But he also writes that you might have true fellowship with him. And I pray this evening, even in a simple, informal hour of worship on a Wednesday night, that we have fellowship with him, both as we sing to him and about him, as we bring our requests to him, as we bring him our praise, that we might have fellowship with him, but also that we might have fellowship with each other. Mm-hmm. We be brethren, not because we share a father or a mother, but because we're to be found in Christ. And I pray also that knowing our relationship with God and our standing with God in Christ, that our joy may be full. Mm. Not incomplete, not partial, not just an emotion which comes and goes, but a total and utter joy which is stable and firm and permanent, because it's based upon Jesus Christ, who is stable and firm and permanent. If your source of joy is temporal, then your joy will be temporal. If your joy is based upon him who changes not, then your joy will not change, evaporate or dissipate, because Jesus does not change. And we are going to come to a God soon in prayer who does not change, and that is a real consolation, I think. Amen. Amen. Amen.